Doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing great. If you're ready, we can dive into it.
Let's do it.
So I'd love to go back to, Mark, when you guys are having your meetings. I'm guessing it's with Lisa, Guy, Vince, and everyone deciding you guys want to be the first studio to release a film in this pandemic. Can you talk to me about some of the things that were decided and the rationale to do this? Like, what made you guys want to do this?
Well, the first thing that happened, of course, is we were sitting on September 4 for a long time, and then COVID hit, and of course a number of movies were delayed, including A Quiet Place 2, which landed on our September 4 date, and that's an enormous super tanker of a movie, and we're a little speedboat, so you better get out of the way or you're going to get crushed. So we looked at moving later, fall or winter or spring, and that looked really crowded for three reasons. One of them is all the movies that were already scheduled. The second reason is all the postponed movies that were now going into theaters at a later time. And the third one was no certainty about there being full capacity in theaters. You know, what if they're only operating at 50% at that point? So it became apparent to us that if we tried to go later, there would be no room at the end. And, you know, when you're out of choices, then you start looking at things that you would otherwise not consider, like, what if we went first? And so there were a couple of things we had to get clear before we even attempted that. The first was to find out if the theater owners would embrace it. And so we made a bunch of calls, and they said yes. And we wanted to find out if their safety provisions sounded thorough and expert as opposed to just non-existent. And we were pretty impressed by what they were doing. And then we had to figure out if anybody would go. So we commissioned a national poll, and we asked people, this is in early May, would you definitely go to the movie theaters in July if they're open? And what surprised us is that 80% of Americans said they would. And that's what gave us the courage to go ahead with what was originally a July 1 release, and then it was July 10, and then it was July 31, and finally it's now August 21.
You've been able to open it in other countries. I'm curious, the successes in those countries, how have they helped the process for what's about to happen next week?
Yeah, I think Australia was the most instructive. It's a runaway hit there, and despite the 30% of the country being closed, you know, Melbourne and the province of Victoria, of course, are shut down. And what was fascinating there is they just went right at it, and were very assertive about getting as many screens as they could and doing all the normal things you would do in conventional times and not holding back, and that worked out really well. It is slower than you would see historically. Historically, you would see a big pop and a big drop, and now what you see is a more modest opening, but it runs a lot longer. So instead of dropping 40% in week two, the movie dropped 12%. But it's been number one 3 weeks in a row, and that's worked out really well. By contrast, in Europe, where there's a little bit more safety consciousness or reticence or whatever you want to call it, the numbers have been fine, but solid, not great. And you definitely see things taking quite a bit longer for people to get comfortable. The movie's been doing just fine, it's doing pretty nicely, but it's a runaway hit in Australia, and so we're hoping that that's what we can pull off in the U.S. too.
I loved your comparison of y'all being a speedboat in the waters of film. That's something you've been able to do throughout your career, is that kind of not tentpole level $100 million movies, but the ones that are, less but still over $20 million. Can you talk about being in that sweet spot, and is that something that is still viable in today's film market?
Yeah, it's a spot I've been in for the last 10 years since I got out of the art house business, and it has worked out exceedingly well, notwithstanding the fact that all the time I hear from people, mid-budget movies are dead. And it's really funny because, I was able to keep companies open and, pay my mortgage and put my son through college and all that good stuff. It seems to have worked out fine. The tricks, I think, are two. One of them is, when you say mid-budget, don't spend $90 million, spend 40 or 50. And the other trick, which is equally important, is you can't do the same old, tired, we've seen it 100 times movie. You have to do something that at least feels like it's distinctive and a twist on something that's been seen before, with enough star power in it to get people to go. And if you do that, they're working just fine. And, you know, this last fall was really testament to that. You had everything from Knives Out to My Head Angel Has Fallen to Downton Abbey to Rambo to Hustlers. There were a lot of good mid-sized movies that did exceedingly well. Were they the best movie of the year? No. But were they good enough to do great with an audience? Yes.
Can you talk about Unhinged and this particular story being, I think, one that, even though it's a bit crazy with what's going on in Russell's character, it seems kind of timely, sadly.
It does. You know, when we greenlit the movie, one of the things that helped us get comfort with the decision is a poll that showed that 82% of Americans have experienced road rage. Okay, that's pretty high. So it's a relatable idea. And we also called a number of countries around the world, and they all have it, even the Japanese. It's remarkable. So there was that. But as you say, the thing that has really changed is just how much more precarious our lives feel, how much more challenging they are for most people. And I would say, if anything, our level of anxiety and potential for rage is as much or even possibly higher than it was then.
I've peeked at some of the films you've got coming up. I'm really excited at Hypnotic and some of the other projects. Can you talk about the decision-making process for you after all these years of picking successful films?
Yeah, I think the single most important thing is to have an idea that does not feel tired. In other words, something that when you hear the idea, you say, oh, that sounds interesting. And then, obviously, right behind that is, does the script deliver on that, which is, you know, so much. There's so many things it takes to get that right. And, you know, famously, we read 5,000 scripts a year, and we're trying to make 5 movies a year, so that tells you how much not-so-wonderful material we see. But the idea, effectively, is that we're trying to do something that has a clever enough idea that people will understand it easily, and yet there will be enough complexity in the story that they will not say, really, that's all there is, just like the one-liner. So if you can balance those two things, it seems to work pretty well.
With your team, there's a nice history of animation, especially with Guy. Is there any chance that we'll see you guys jump into animation or maybe even TV or other realms like that?
We are not contemplating animation, and that is, you know, it's early days, right? So we've got to prove we're good at this first. And actually, we're not even contemplating TV at the moment, but that can change too. So right now, what we are is a theatrical movie company, you know, looking to do 3 to 5 movies in this sort of mid-budget range. But your question has something really great underneath of it, which is, okay, if that works, you'll certainly want to expand into adjacent fields, and anything like television or other areas like that makes a lot of sense, right?
So last question. I know I'm a little bit behind on time, so I would love to just ask Mark, what do you watch, read? What do you do in your time that you've enjoyed?
Well, I'm an inveterate news junkie, so, you know, Washington Post, Economist, Financial Times, New York Times, etc., and a lot of film things. But mostly what I've been doing is catching up on holes in my film education, of which there are many, whether it's a movie I didn't see a year ago or a movie I didn't see 10 years ago or a classic that I didn't see ever. So that's been great. Weirdly enough, the thing I have liked most of everything I've seen is a television show, and that's Succession. But I recall that it was based on a film script called Murdoch, which, of course, was immediately squelched by somebody named Murdoch Lawyers, and then turned into a Romana Clefti video that's just remarkable.
Very cool. Well, Mark, I really appreciate the time, and excited to see what you guys are doing in the future. Thank you so much.